Good day. You're listening to European Buddha.
In today's episode, we want to talk about Dharma Parenting, a pilot project by the European Buddhist Union that has just recently started. This year, two online meetings have taken place to share resources, inspiration, and information around the topic of children, Buddhism, and mindfulness. And it is a good thing that we have two parents with us for today, Sarah and Emilia, who can certainly share first-hand experience with us. With this being said, welcome to today's episode of the European Buddha Podcast.
Thank you, Martin, and warmly welcome, Sarah Mansi. Sarah is a language teacher, a peace educator, and a Vipassana practitioner. She studied social sciences for peace, African studies, and holds a teaching diploma. Sarah feels mostly connected to forest Theravada tradition and to Santa Cittarama Monastery in Italy. Sarah is originally from Italy, and at the moment she lives in the Netherlands with her husband and her daughter, Luna. Sarah loves writing, reading children's books, learning languages and instruments, and spending time in the nature with her family. So warmly welcome, Sarah. Thank you for your time and looking really forward. How did you end up meeting Dharma in the first place and Buddhist teachings?
Yes, the first time was when I was 16 years old. A classmate gave me a book, which is the Nove Siddhartha of Hermann Hesse. The book has been really eye-opening in terms of self-discovery and spiritual development. And a few years later, I decided to visit the Lama Tsongkhapa Institute in Pomaya because I used to live close by. My parents still live in the area. And I found the book How to Meditate, written by Kathleen McDonald, an American Tibetan nun. And during my studies at the University of Pisa, in peace studies, I attended some classes in sociology of religions, but also about nonviolent theory and history. And I encountered the concept of Gandhi, Satyagraha, which means civil nonviolence. And it's based on Ahimsa. Ahimsa is a Sanskrit word which means nonviolence and is a key virtue of Dharma religions like Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, and which means actually non-killing, so not hurt sentient beings. And thanks to this discovery, I decided to go to visit a nonviolent community in France, which is called La Flessier. And it's been founded by a nonviolent Italian philosopher, Lanza del Vasto. And during my journey there, I met someone who introduced me to the forest tradition of Ajahn Chah. That's why I decided to go to Thailand and attend my first silent retreat. After that, I went to also Nepal, to India, travel a little bit in order to practice Vipassana. So since then, I've been practicing Vipassana. That's a long journey. I started when I was 16, ended up now that I'm 44.
And what kind of values do you admire most when you think about Buddhism and your practice? You just said you were inspired by Gandhi, his way of nonviolence. Like, I think Buddhism had many great values. What is it for you?
Yeah. Well, I can say that I grew up in a Catholic environment, but I never felt deeply connected with myself. I had many questions when I was a teenager, like, do I have a mission in this life? What life means? Who I am? You know, this kind of spiritual existential questions. And in Satyagraha, in this concept, I found some basic information, like in order to feel good with yourself, in order to deal with external conflicts, in order to become, you know, a peace operator, you have first to feel good with yourself and understand the conflicts inside yourself. You have to start in observing and understanding your mind. So to have a clear mind to feel grounded helps to manage your emotions and to prevent aggression, to prevent confusion, and also conflicts with people around you. So that has been a really strong message, which I also found in Buddhism, because it's the same, actually, origin, it's the same Dharmic family. And also, thanks to the retreats in Asia, I started to investigate also compassion and also loving kindness, how to be respectful towards, you know, other sentient beings, and to cultivate a clear mind. So it's a really deep inner work, a self-discovery, and then gives you, of course, it's not always linear. It's not something that once you learn it, you know, then you become calm. No, because it's a continuous practice in daily life. It becomes quite challenging when you have stressful situations, you know, you have some issues in the family and you have a baby, for example, you feel overwhelmed by emotions and you feel maybe, I felt a sense of guilt sometimes, you know, because I wanted to give more time to my daughter. But sometimes I was very tired and, you know, all this kind of negative talks come in my mind. But the meditation practice is, in my opinion, in my own experience, a powerful tool, really, to observe my emotions, to label my emotions and thoughts, and to make a step back.
These qualities you mentioned, like being grounded and peaceful mind and centered, they peacemaking, they can be kind of like superpowers of parenting. And sometimes you just lose nerve. What yeah. happens then? And just to be able to be okay with that also, and be okay with the anxiety. I was reading a book of great teacher Jack Kornfield. The book is called Bringing Home the Dharma, Awakening Right Where You Are. And one of his teachings is parenting is a practice. Could you tell something about your practice in daily life? Because probably you're not able to go to a meditation hall every day or twice a week for an hour sit. What does your practice, so to say, look like?
Yes, I can say that my daily practice has changed a lot since the birth of Luna, because before that I could go sometimes to join silent retreats. And then since the birth of Luna, I had a little bit time for myself, of course. And the priority was her and my family and not me. And I didn't have any more a daily practice routine. And I started to realize that this was also a form of attachment to a form of practice. And I tried to realize that if I mindful in this present moment, if I'm present with her, you know, and if I use the tool of meditation of my practice, then I can sometimes, not always, but I can calm down and enjoy the present moment with my family, with my friends, in my environment. So to use all kinds of household chores, for example, to practice. So just daily, just practical things like changing diaper or during the breastfeeding, just to be present and observing my mind. You know, if some strong emotions came, like stress or anxiety, then to observe those emotions, to label them, and trying to calm down, like, okay, but I'm here, you know, and they're going away. And then to observe and be there. And also I try, of course, with Luna lately to introduce little by little some, Dharma lessons, I mean, some teachings and to practice with her. We started a couple of years ago with yoga, and I introduced also lately breathing exercises. And Luna chose her own pillow, meditation pillow, and she's using this only to sit with me, next to me at the altar, and just to breathe with me, just to be there a few minutes. It's enough. And I don't, of course, push her because it's her spiritual path as well. They want to influence so much, also her. But of course, she sees me, she observes me, and she likes to be there with me sometimes. And also, I found a nice book about Siddhartha. She received as a gift a puppet, handmade puppet, which represents Siddhartha. So she knows it is a prince, she knows the story, and yeah, she likes this puppet. It's a, for her, it's just a story, of course. It's just a prince, mm-hmm. interesting prince. And also when we go, for example, to the park, and we go to have a walk together, I tend to tell her, okay, listen to the birds or look at the insect, just to put attention to small details in the nature and be there, you know, just in silence, together working and experiencing this moment together, enjoying the nature.
This reminds me also of a book I read in my childhood about the life of the Buddha. And I just remember one picture of the Buddha caring for a swan that was injured by an arrow. And for me as a child, it was such a strong image that, oh, the poor swan. I didn't care about the enlightenment path in the end or something in the beginning, but like this was an immediate connection for me. I guess you also had probably this experience that your kids or your children have a very direct connection sometimes to what we call compassion.
Yeah, it's beautiful, this loving kindness part. We have also home a couple of Buddha statues. And I think it's been great that sometimes just naturally, since my daughter was very young, she just went for a sit maybe a minute or two just to stop and just to be. And then she continued her play. And sometimes she puts the altar as she likes to put it. So it's lovely that Buddha is around here and he's a very cool dude or whatever you can say. But it's nice for the children. It can be part of the family and life without going too deep to enlightenment or this kind of things, but more like just the possibility to just be.
No, I agree completely. Yes, I can see also with Luna. When she was younger, so 2 years ago, I started to read a book which is called The Colors of Emotions. It's a very super popular book written by Anna Llenas, a Spanish illustrator from Barcelona. And there are those monsters, every monster has a specific color related to a specific emotion. Mm-hmm. And it was a way for Luna to discover what emotions are or kind of nuances, you know. And sometimes when she was restless, she started to cry, you know, and be a little bit anxious, then or angry, you know, like, oh, I was just telling her, okay, there are monsters there. It's in your belly. Okay, do you feel it? How do you feel it? You know, and she was just, yeah, it's true. The red monster is there. You know, she was aware that she didn't feel okay. She was angry, you know, and I gave her the space to express that. I didn't tell her, oh, stop crying, you know, like, no, but be aware of what you are feeling. And it's okay sometimes to feel angry. I mean, just an emotion like others' emotions, you know. And then together, I try to tell her, okay, let's breathe a little bit. Oh, come here. Mama is going to cut on you. What's wrong? And then the monster is going to become green because it's the monster of calmness, you know. She liked this. I mean, because she loved the book, she loved the story, and it was maybe the first step you know, for Luna to recognize her emotions and to be able to observe them. And still now she can do that. She's aware of that. So it's just a small, easy tool, but it worked out for her.
One thing I've missed in our Sangha is to also bring the family into it, and especially children. And I've often felt a bit bad that I haven't been able to give so much time for the Sangha, because in the evenings I might be with my daughter and I haven't been able to bring her to the Sangha. But I was so happy when you had the idea of the Dharma and Parenting group with the European Buddhist Union. Could you tell something about this group and what we do?
Yes, I had the idea exactly 1 year ago. I was checking the website of the European Buddhist Union, and then this idea came in my mind like, well, I would like to talk about parenthood and Buddhism. What means to be a Buddhist parent? What means to be a child of a Buddhist parent? You know, because I realized in where I'm living now in Rotterdam that there are no groups, Sangha groups or, you know, Dharma groups who have created a space also for children or for family members to talk about this, to talk about the dharmic development of children, how to deal with that in your daily life, how to transmit some Buddhist values. And then realize, okay, maybe it's can be a good idea to connect to different traditions in and outside Europe and to talk about that, just to create a virtual space where practitioners and Dharma teachers, family members can share their own experience about this. And then Ron, the director of EBU, sent me an email like, yes, let's create a team. And that's why we are, it's me with you, Emilia, and Isabel. And we organized so far 2 sharing meetings and at the blog. And I'm going to work, we are going to work in the summertime also on the blog to improve it and to put more information, resources, and links related to parenthood and Buddhism and mindfulness. And one of the ideas is also to create a network to connect as much as we can with all kind of traditions, Buddhist traditions, to create a dialogue also. And I hope in the long term to create some materials that we can freely download through the blog, materials that we can use for family retreats, you know, or programs for the youth, for the children.
Was there a dominant theme or a topic in your conversations, or was it just about getting together and share about the recent experience you had?
You know, in the first meeting, we decided just to have like more general topic, like how do you use your Buddhist practice in daily life with your children. The second one was about what kind of programs, Dharma meditation programs, are available for families and children in and outside Europe. And if someone who is listening now would like to share ideas, have some specific suggestions, or want to join the group, please, you can, of course, write an email and contact us.
Yeah, in one way, the topic of parenthood seems to be very challenging, because how to manage your life and meditation and raising a child, caring for it. And it could also challenge one's search for what you think meditation should be. But then again, if you really look into it, and as you were saying, like being open and be present to what you are doing in this situation, really, in the end, I think puts you right on the spot where meditation and Buddhism are about, actually. So on one hand, it's a challenge. And on the other hand, if you can manage to open up, it could be just like you said, Emilia, it's practice.
Yeah, and I have to say something that with children, I've learned that practice kind of transforms all the time. And that's the fun part, kind of, that it is actually what you make it. And as I told about Jack Kornfield's idea of parenting as a practice, he talks well about this, that children give us the opportunity to awaken every moment, because they kind of bring us to the beginner's mind place. Of course, you can study the beginner's mind also without children, but they bring it out to you in front of you mostly every moment, which is great.
Yeah.
And yes.
Hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I was asking with Luna, sometimes she asks me, Mom, comes to play with me. And sometimes I realize that I'm playing with her, but my mind is still stuck, you know, in some thoughts about my work, for example. And it's like, oh, no, I have to be here. I mean, to be present with her, because she feels that. She sees that I'm distracted.
Yes.
And just enjoy the moment with her. And it's like also practice,
yes,
to be aware. Just to become aware of that, I think it's a big step. Of course, the mind, you know, is a monkey mind. So it's also very easy to fall down again and, you know, start thinking again about some problems, some issues, and then go back again. Oh, no. Okay, I have to be here for
exactly
her, with her, and enjoy it as much as I can. Yeah.
This reminds me of when my daughter was a bit younger, and there was this every night taking to sleep long journey. And
yes,
I remember, like, for a long time it was a really kind of, not badly said, pain in the ass sometimes, because you had so much things waiting to for you to do when she's asleep. So it's waiting and I'm trying to put her to sleep, but at some point I realized that, wait a minute, this is a beautiful moment when I can just breathe with my daughter, read a book, and just be. It's like really joy. And at some point I started to also fall asleep next to her.
Yeah.
But it was funny that my mind was saying, like, I should be doing this and that, whereas actually I was supposed to be there in the present moment with her. And when I realized that, I started to really enjoy it. So it's funny.
Yeah, I understand you completed it, what I experienced as well. Especially the first 2 years of her life. First, the breastfeeding, you know, then I have to be there. I have to enjoy the moment without thinking what I'm going to do later.
Yeah.
I have to do this and that, you know, like, And then trying to create some room for her and me together. And that's all, you know, and nothing else. And it's a practice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah, for your time. And we will put all information about this great project in the episode description. You can contact Sarah, or even better, join of one of the meetings you are holding during the year and share your experience about Dharma and parenthood. And I hope this network will grow and benefit many children, parents, and maybe also animals.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and have a joyful summer. I see you maybe in October.
Thank you so much, Sarah, and all listeners. Maybe I can stop with a few words of Jack Kornfield, because I think it was very beautiful. So he has this wonderful book, Bringing Home the Dharma. Parenting is a labor of love. It's a path of service and surrender, and like the practice of Buddha or Bodhisattva, it demands patience and understanding and tremendous sacrifice. It is also a way to reconnect with the mystery of life and to reconnect with ourselves. Young children have that sense of mystery.